Now open your Bibles. John chapter 6. Now, I can already say I'm going to skip over probably 80% of what I taught Wednesday night. So if you want that, you're going to have to get that message. It's already available at the website, both Dave's and GaryCarpenter.org. But we're going to get the essence of it. And what he wants to do this one, we're going to build on that service, but we're going to emphasize more the covenant side of it. And even as I talk today about the blood covenant, everything I say about the blood covenant falls short of the covenant you have. Not a single amen. Did you hear that? You know why? Because your covenant is sonship, which is even greater. Now, the blood is what brought you sonship. I remember the first time I heard Dave say this, I about fell out of my chair. Because I double dog dare any of you go into any traditional church, tell the pastor you have a message for their church, get up in the pulpit and say, I just want you to know that I have the same glory on me that Jesus had on him. I double dog dare you. You're about to get run out of town on a rail. See? But see, in John 17, he says, the glory thou hast given me, I have given them. And I remember Dave saying, the first time I ever heard it, I didn't know what that meant. First time I ever heard him say, what he gave you was the glory of sonship. He gave you the status, the position of a son in God's house. That's better than covenant. But it took a blood covenant to get you there. You understand this? See, the covenant really was between God the Father and God the Son. Abraham was the mediator of that covenant. Did you also know that's why you can't break the covenant? How do you get in it then? I mean, it's really a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. How do you get the benefits of that? Only one way. You got to be in Christ. You got to be in Him. You got to be found in Him. Amen? All right. So we're going to look at the covenant aspect. So let's start in John 6. And I'm like I say, 80% of what I said Wednesday night, we're not even going to go there. We're just going to come to the end of it. This is that hard passage. I mean, he in this whole thing, he was trying to get them to understand the eternal life that he was bringing. They kept focusing on natural things like the bread. And earlier in the same chapter, he had just multiplied the loaves and fishes, and they had eaten of that supernatural bread. Well, they were all excited about the bread, but he was trying to illustrate life. That's all I'm going to say about that now. So he comes down here. Let's pick it up in verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That is a hard saying. To the natural man? Are we talking cannibalism here? I mean, the Jews had to be remembering when God forbid them to drink blood, you know. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now, he keeps focusing on life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. Boy, he's not backing off, is he? Over and over. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, right there, does that take you back to that teaching about eat the flesh of the Lamb? Eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Remember the Passover, the first one? Thank God for the blood on the doorpost. Thank God for the blood that brought us forgiveness and salvation. But see, if that was the whole message, all you'd have to do is hunker down behind that door. Wait till daylight, and then it's over, and the death angel passed over you. But that wasn't the only instruction. They had to go inside. Don't come out. Don't you go in that door. You stay in there. But during that night is when they had to roast the lamb with fire. Roast the lamb with fire and then eat it and eat all of it. All of it. Eat till you can't eat anymore. And if there's anything left, you burn that up till it's nothing but ash. Nothing left. You eat the whole sacrifice. And when they came out in the morning, they went in as slaves. During the night is when Pharaoh said, set them free. So they went in as slaves. They came out in the morning, free people. They went in as slaves, broken, sick, diseased. But it says when they came out, there was not one feeble one among them. Even in the shadow, there is the blood and there is the meal. Can you see it? That lamb represents the Son of Man. It represents his flesh. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Salvation is more than the new birth. Thank God for the new birth. But God included healing at the same time as he did the new birth. In the same way, now I'm jumping ahead on this covenant thing. No, I'm not either. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. See how it works? All right. Verse 56. We'll get there. We'll just get there later in the message. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. How many of you knows the life of God was already in him? But the life of God was not in man. Man had sin working in him, death working in him. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In other words, the life that he had in him. You know, we had that saying today, you are what you eat. After you partake of the lamb, the life that's in that lamb is now in you. Amen. Amen? As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now we could go on there. You know, that's where many of the disciples, they turned away. And to be honest, you can tell that also when they left, you notice Jesus didn't go running down the street after them. He's not going to compromise his word for you. Then he turned to the 12. So what? I'm going to paraphrase. How about you boys? They all left. Right there is the door. What about you? So he didn't say this. You can leave. I'll make another 12 look just like you. But anyway. And you can tell they thought about it. Because Peter says, well, where would we go? You have the words of life. See? They thought about it. There's nowhere else to go. Well, thank God there's nowhere else to go. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, because they were so focused on the bread instead of the life, they missed the truth during John 6 that he was trying to get across to them. But really, because of their culture at the time, they should have understood that he was talking about a covenant. A covenant that was going to literally be made through blood, through his own blood and through his own offering. And I'm not going to teach at length. Most of you have probably heard umpteen messages on blood covenants, but you know that usually what would happen, now the Jews are not allowed to drink blood, but the Gentiles that lived all around, the way they would do a blood covenant, they would normally take a knife and they would cut the palm of their hands. They would have a cup there that probably either had usually wine, I think, in it. And they would clasp hands over that cup and they'd let the blood of the two people mingle in that wine. There would usually be breaking of bread also. They would declare vows to each other. Your life is my life. Your people are my people. My blood is in you. Your blood is in me. We are one. All of those type of things. Now, we're not going to get into this today, but there's usually an exchange of, they would call it purses in those days. It'd be a wallet, something. Today you might use your checkbook, but something to illustrate even our finances. If you ever get in trouble, my finances are yours. If I ever get in trouble, your finances are. They'd go through this whole thing making a covenant, and you do it publicly, by the way, and blood is involved. Why the blood? Because if you ever break your word, if you ever break that covenant, the penalty is death. And if you don't kill yourself, your own family is honor bound to kill you. Did you get that? God is entering into a covenant. How many of you think he's going to break his word? He's not, see. He's not. Now, let's go over to, again, I'm skipping way over. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at how the Lord revealed this to Paul the Apostle, teaching on the Lord's Supper. We just look. Jesus was prophesying about it really in John 6. This is the covenant. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to partake of this covenant between me and my Father by partaking of me. Really what he's saying, you partake of me and then you're in the covenant. So verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writing, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said," now he starts with the bread, "take, eat, this is my body, which is broken." I'm hesitating on purpose. "This is my body, which is broken for you." By his stripes, you were healed. Why did he agree to do what he did? Why did he suffer the agony of the Roman scourging? Why did he do it? Hebrews tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and all of that he went through. What was the joy when it comes to the stripes? He could have just gone to the cross without the stripes being involved. Why the stripes on his back? For the joy of knowing that his body was broken so you could be healed. And never would disease be able to stay on you, no matter what the enemy tried. And it's a covenant made in blood. It's a covenant with oath between God the Father, God the Son, and it cannot be broken. Man, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Now the Jews were not allowed to let their blood drip into the cup. So what they would use was grape juice. This was a common practice. And I gave you the verses Wednesday night. There's two verses in the Old Testament that talks about the blood of the grape. And they would use that. So when he's holding up this cup, it's juice of some kind, probably grape juice. But he's using it as a symbol to represent. Because trust me, when he was on the cross, it wasn't grape juice came out of his veins. He's just using that to symbolize, this is a real blood covenant. And I'm going to be shedding my blood. So when he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget. Now that word testament right there, if you look it up, it is exactly the same word used in Hebrews where it says, we are in a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Same word, covenant and testament, same word. He's saying, this is a covenant. What we're entering into, what he's saying to, and again, this, I wonder what that night was like. The evening meal, Passover. I wonder what it was like. I wonder if it was a nice day and maybe a good temperature and everybody's comfortable. And there's nobody trying to arrest Jesus. There's no clamor going on at that moment. I bet it was pretty nice. You know, John, it says, was leaning back against the Lord. And they were enjoying a nice, peaceful communion. And they're hearing his words, but he knows what's coming. And he had told them that he would have to be crucified. But most of the times when it says he told them, it was hidden from them. They didn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend it. They didn't know what was coming. That nice, peaceful meal. During the night, the arrest brought before Pilate. They just skipped to the scourging, not even looking at the thorns on his head and them beating him and covering his face and slapping him and saying, prophesy, who hit you? Prophesy. The mocking that he took. Let's just go to the scourging. And if you have not heard that message that the Lord brought through me called Scourged for Your Healing, don't miss that one. Don't miss that one. For most of my Christian life, I thought he suffered a Jewish beating, which is 40 lashes less one, 39 stripes. No, he wasn't scourged by the Jews. Pilate, it says, scourged him. Then he gave them over to the Jews. He suffered a Roman scourging with a cat of nine tails. Boy, if you haven't heard that message before they were done with, no wonder he couldn't carry his own cross all the way to the hill. I mean, the description that I read to you from history about a Roman scourging, very often it was so bad the skin would hang off the body like sleeves off a shirt. It would expose the spine sometimes. You could see the bones. Isaiah, when he saw it hundreds of years in a vision, he says, his visage was so marred, he didn't even look like a man. When they hung him up on that cross, you had to look and say, is that a man? Now, this peaceful meal that they had the night before. And then they're watching. Oh, my God, why is he having to endure this? Man still doesn't know the depth to which he fell. We kind of think we're kind of okay. We're not okay. Horrible price. Jesus took all the punishment for every sin. He took the lashing from a Roman scourging. And he did it for the joy set before him. Because he has a covenant. He is with his own blood ratifying a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. For the joy set before him, by my stripes they will all be healed. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. In my meditation one time, sometimes I just there. I'm a movie guy anyway. I think in pictures. And I was just there and I saw him. I can't really tell you in words. They saw. But he turned to me right near the end of it, taking that lashing. And he turned that bloodied face to me. And to me, he said, do you believe I'm willing to heal you now? See, we've been well trained. We know when it comes to salvation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know when the altar call is given, somebody heard the gospel and you have 10 men, 10 women come forward. We know that God will not turn any one of them away. He won't be going, it's my will to save you, my will to save you, but not my will to save you. No. Whosoever. And we know that he will not say no. Let me go further. He cannot say no. It's a covenant. He made a covenant with the Son. If you do this, I will honor your blood. And I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. If you do this, they can be saved. If you do this, they can all be healed. And we know that when it comes to salvation, we know he won't turn anyone away. We know he can't turn them away and remain to be God. He'd have to, how does God kill himself? He'd have to cease to exist somehow. He cannot. Why? He cannot violate that covenant. We're going to look at his word here in a minute. But we've not been taught that same thing when it comes to healing. He cannot say no. Because Jesus took the stripes. Healing is just as much a part of the atonement as the new birth. And he cannot say no. So don't you say no. Don't you ever put your lips in agreement with your circumstances. Don't you ever put your lips in agreement with the enemy. Only put your lips in agreement with, by his stripes, I was healed. I was healed. Open up to Psalms 119. We're going to start with the shadow. I better go there myself. I'm so tired. Now you're not going to like this. I didn't like it when I heard it. It's not the devil killing our friends with cancer. It's religion. The devil doesn't even have that power. He really doesn't. He has given us authority over all the devil's ability. It's religion. It's deception. Hath God said? Psalms 119, this whole psalm is basically about the faithfulness of God's word. Now, under the shadow, they did not have the new nature like each of us has, the law written in our heart because we're born again. We have a nature to walk by, but they did not have that on the inside. What they had on the inside was a sin nature. So God gave them his word and especially his law. So when that's what they had. They didn't have a nature to walk by, so they had his word to try and walk by. Amen? So look at this in verse 89 of Psalms 119. It says, forever. How long? Ever. Say, forever. Forever. Say, that means forever. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is settled. If you look up that word settled, you're going to find that it, the first meaning in Strong's is a station. And I had to look that up because the word station in 1611 is not exactly the same as station today. But station, what we would use that for is like a, you would use that word for a lighthouse. Okay? A station. It's a point of reference. The best way to put it today, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word set boundaries. Here are the boundaries. Every parent knows what this is. Can I go out and say, can I go outside and play, Daddy? Mommy, can I go outside and play? Yes. But stay in the yard. We put the fence up for a reason. There's safety in the fence, okay? There's nothing within the fence that's going to hurt you. They didn't have a conscience. They didn't have a nature from God. So God gave them externally this law. He gave them this book. And they could look at it and find out, just a minute, adultery is wrong. But does it feel wrong? No, I like it when I do it. My flesh. But is it wrong? Just a minute. They couldn't look inside. They had to look at the law. All through this. Come down to verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I double dog dare you to go through Psalms 119 and substitute conscience everywhere you find the word law or word. Conscience or the new nature. Oh, how I love the new nature. Lord, I follow its leadings all day long. Lord, it's the most precious thing you ever give me. Lord, thank you for that life in Christ Jesus. The life of God that you put on the inside of me. I thank you, Lord. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We would say, Lord, that nature you put on the inside of me. That nature you put on the inside of me, Lord. It's the lamp unto my feet. It's what I walk by. It's a light unto my path. If the nature says, no, I don't go that way. If it says, yes, I go that way. Thank you, Lord. Can you see the difference? Then let's talk about his word now. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Now, the word I want to talk about today, you can preach lots of aspects. I want you to think today about the covenant. Jesus said, this is the testament. This is the covenant in my blood. And he talked about the bread and the cup. Amen. So he talks about healing, the stripes. That's the body broken for you. Then he talks about the blood shed for your forgiveness. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Now let's talk about God's word in covenant to Jesus. Hang on. I've already preached that page. Hallelujah. You can be turning to Isaiah 55. We're going to go there in just a minute. Thy word. You know what the New Testament equivalent of that is? Thy word is settled forever in heaven. The New Testament equivalent is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. This year I've been saved 37 years. You know, after a while it dawns on you when you go back through the Bible again, and then you go back through it again, and you do that for 37 years. One day it dawns on your lightning quick mind. It has not changed. And the thing of it is, you can go back for centuries. It has not changed. And the thing of it is, it never will change. Forever. Thy word is settled. See, yes, under the old covenant. Yes, sir. Okay, good. Okay. I don't have this in my notes, but where did I say go? Isaiah 55. We'll be there in a minute. But go for a moment over to Galatians chapter 5. He doesn't want to skip over that too quick. You know, he just acts like these are his services and he can do whatever he wants, you know. Oh, yeah, didn't I pray that at the beginning of it? Okay, all right. Let him do what he wants. See, under the old covenant, again, all they really had was the law. They had the external law to set boundaries. Adultery is not okay. Murder is not okay. All of these things, you know, this is not okay. This is wrong. This is not the yard that I let you play in. Don't go out beyond the fence. And the law was the fence. But see, in the New Testament, he gave us something different. He wrote his law in your heart when he gave you the new nature. So here Paul is writing about that in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And I know in your Bible, it's probably a capital S. It's a little s. He's talking about walking by the new nature that he gave you. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. All of these should be little s. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now notice, but if you be led of the Spirit, oh please, that's a little S. If you be led by that new nature, if you learn to yield, as our brother Nathan has been teaching, if you learn to yield to the voice of your conscience, you are not under the law. Why? Because you're walking by the inward law that he gave you. But notice, the boundaries are still there. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery is still out of bounds. Your new nature is never going to approve of that. You got it? It was out of bounds under the law. It's still out of bounds under the law written in your heart. Fornication, out of bounds. Don't play out there, you get hurt. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, out of bounds. Forever. His nature in you is not going to change. And the last thing you want to do is sear your conscience. It's the I'm telling you, that new nature he gave you, the voice of your conscience, is the most precious thing you've ever received from God. It is literally Christ in you. It is the life you're to walk by. It is the light that lights your path. Boy, don't sear it. But all of these things are still out of bounds. Idolatry. Oh, Nathan at one point, he says, you want to see idolatry? Look in the mirror. That goes back with an old cartoon I read many, many years ago. It says, we have met the enemy and he is us. Self-worship. Self-love. It's the biggest idol of all. Narcissism. Witchcraft, which would be better translated drug abuse. It's pharmakia. It's where we get the word pharmacy from. Hatred. Can you see? All of these things are still out of bounds. They were out of bounds then. They're out of bounds now. Play in the yard. I'll show you the yard here in a minute. He shows you the yard. Quit getting outside the fence. I gave you a new nature to fence you in. Walk by it. This goes quite. And did you know this list is not all inclusive? This is a sample. How scary is that? Let's finish up here. Envyings, murders. What about drunkenness? Revelings. Hey, it's okay to have people over for a barbecue once in a while. You know what it's talking about here? There's revelings, spring break type revelings where there's no boundaries, and drunkenness and fornication and all, running rampant. That's what he's talking about. Of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, they which do such things. Now he means on a habitual level. They that do, if this is your life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You want to see the fence? You want to see the yard? That's verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Here, play in this yard. You can have all the love you want. Feel free to love as much as you want. There's no limit. There's no law against love. You can have all the, love. You can have all the joy you can stand. That's, see, Sue and I get those phone calls all the time as ministers. People call up all the time and say, I just tell you, I got too much joy. Can you help me with my excess of joy? I don't think we ever have gotten that call, actually. In your dreams. Sue says, in your dreams, buddy. The yard we get to play in is peace. Worry is sin. Learn not to do it. Okay? It takes a lot of practice. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no boundaries on those things. You can have all of those things that you want. Isn't that good? Now, there's another place, and I don't know if I wrote it down or not. Let me see if I can find that verse. I don't think I wrote it down. By golly, I don't think I did. But you know the verse that says, now you know it's a real common verse, you have exalted your word above your name. Okay? You know it's in there, right? I'm not turning to it right now, but it's in there. You have exalted your word above your name. Now here's something I don't know if you thought about. What does that really mean? Well, you know exactly what it means. See, if your word is no good, your name is no good. There's some, and I'm not looking at anybody for any reason now, but there's some of you I'd take a check from and not think a thing about it. Yeah, you put your name on the check. I know that's good. There's others of you I'd rather have cash. Usually because you have proven to me in the past that you will not necessarily keep your word. You know, some people keep their word as long as it's easy. Jesus kept his word when it was the hardest thing ever done. See? And God says, I have exalted my word above my name. He has even written his name in his word for us. Those redemptive names of God. How about this one? I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He has exalted his word even above that. He is not going to violate his word. I had to go to Isaiah, right? Let's look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now notice, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. There's another verse that I didn't write down. He sent his word and healed them. You remember that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Jesus is the Word. Now, you ready for this? This says, my Word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. His Word cannot return to him until it has accomplished what he sent it for. Have you noticed Jesus, the Word, has returned to the Father? You've already been healed. He has accomplished that for which he was sent. By his stripes you were healed. And because the work is finished, the word has returned to the Father. God. God. Are you getting that? This do in remembrance of me. Anytime now, and I'm working on it like you're working. I'm being transformed to this like you're being transformed to it. But now, something tries to. Have y'all noticed I'm walking straighter? I'm walking straighter. And the pain is less. It's not just that I'm walking straighter by. The pain is less. I've been walking the floor, walking my street a little bit, declaring his word. By his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. I thank you, Lord. You are the Lord that heals me. I command my back. You straighten up. You be healed in Jesus' name. A healed man should walk straight. I'm supposed to walk upright before the Lord. That's a good one. You can tell, right? But it's not just doing it. I've tried that before through in such pain I couldn't do it. The pain, I won't say it's 100% gone yet. In the natural, I'm giving you that report, okay? But it's so much less. Y'all know this is better than I've walked in years, isn't it? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. God in me, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Someday I'll run and leap right over this thing. Maybe, I don't know about that. Man. That's maybe. Did you ever think about that? The word cannot return to him without accomplishing what he sent it for. It is finished. The work has been done. The stripes have been endured. And with his stripes you were healed. Now, I'm not ready to teach this yet, but I hear it. Did you notice in the New Testament so many times when they would come for healing, like blind Bartimaeus and others, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy. And then through his mercy, they would be healed. Mercy. And you think about Jesus bearing the stripes. See, if I'm guilty, which the whole human race is guilty before God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? That's Old Testament now. It's talking about man in his unregenerate form. Unregenerate state. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the devil, the accuser of the brethren, says, they're all guilty. I have a right to them. See, the accuser of the brethren? He will stand and say, I have a right. That brother out there, he messed up. He cussed out his neighbor. I have a right to him. Or whatever it is, see, whatever it is, I have a right to them. Your job is to remember. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. When it comes to sickness, what blood would that be? By his stripes, I was healed. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. There it is right there, what I just said. Don't stay silent and love not your lives unto the death. You don't ever change. You hold out to the end like he did. And you'll have it every time. The accuser of the brethren has been disarmed. Everything that was against you, Christ nailed it to the tree and paid for it with his own blood. This do in remembrance of me. God's word. You have exalted your word even above your name. If there's ever a check you can cash, it's the one that has Jehovah on it. And you've got it in your hands right now. All the promises of God are yes and amen. That the promises would be sure to all the seed. It's not just to the white guy, to the black girl, to the polka dotted, to the striped, to the brown, to the green, to anything else. Not to the fat, to the skinny, to the educated, to the uneducated, to the pretty, to the not so pretty. It's to all who believe. We can all do that. Just believe his word. Healing is for you, and I don't care. Yes, sir. Okay. He doesn't really care about my notes, I can tell. Whose report are you going to believe? See, this same Isaiah. He talks about the arm of the Lord. When I read that, I think about the Lord. He's getting ready to do business today. Now, I'm thinking about the Holy Ghost, if he has arms, you know. He's the manifester of the truth. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. He's going, now, I am the arm of the Lord. Now, here's a Holy Ghost. If you can't see me, I'm rolling up my sleeves because I'm about to go to work. And it says, to who shall that bare arm of the Lord? To whom shall it be? I need Dave up here doing his Arnold thing right now. You know, to whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? To those who believe his report. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe his word, him that cannot lie? Who has exalted his word above his name? Now the doctors, they have to give you their report. That's what you're paying them for. That's what they're paying. You're paying them to give you the natural report. So you got a report. They're saying thou shalt die. And you got his report. By his stripes you were healed. Whose report shall you believe? And if you believe God's report, you get his arm on your case. I'll take that one. Thank you. I'll take that one. Now this may take some renewing of the mind. Because you've got a preacher in your body. It's called pain. He's relentless. I know that guy. Preaches 24/7. You know what he's saying? You're not healed. 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 Sometimes you're going to die. You're going to die. It depends on what it is. And it's relentless. You need to be a better preacher than he is. You need to be the unjust judge. Is the one. That unjust judge is your soul. Your soul is going to render a verdict. I believe the doctor's report, or I believe God's report. You know why Jesus called it an unjust judge? Because it doesn't base its decision on truth. That would be a just judge. This one bases its decision. It renders a decision based on the preponderance of the evidence. Who is preaching more? Pain winning in court, is he? You might need to step up, present a little more evidence. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Walk the floor, get you two or three verses, put the word of God in your mouth and preach to your body. Thou shalt walk upright before him. By the stripes of Jesus you are healed. Lord, you are the strength of my life. By you I run through a troop and leap over a wall. You restore my youth like the eagles. Amen? Whatever it is that you're battling, get the word of God in your mouth. Don't you sit there and let that pain preach to you all day. He's just preaching that false report. Well, it's not false. It'll kill you. I'm not saying we're not going to Christian Science here now. We're going to Christian Bible. He didn't say call things that are as though they're not. I don't have cancer, you know. No. Call things that be not as though they were. By his stripes I was healed. And if you was, you is. Bad grammar, but it makes the point. You don't forget it. If I was healed, I is healed. I am healed. I like I am. Do you know he am what you believe he am? Now, he am whether you believe it or not. But whether you receive the power of it, do you believe he is I am? That good stuff or what? They talk about the Big Bang. Now, this is Gary. Okay, this next thing I'm going to say. This part, I heard somebody else say this and I like it. It makes sense to me. You know, in the beginning where it says, in our King James, it says, let there be light. You know, in the Hebrew, it's light be, and then light was. See, personally, now this is Gary. I think that's the Big Bang. The thing they talk about, the Big Bang, right there it is. Light be. And scientists, thank you. Scientists. You can read articles. They say the universe is still expanding. You know why? God's word never quits working. And I heard one of them say this, and I like it. If somehow you could position yourself out beyond where the universe is, that makes... you're out beyond where the universe is. It's expanding, and somehow you're out beyond it. And suddenly, whoosh, the universe just went past you. Somebody said, you know what you'd hear? Light be. You know, you got, because it's still expanding and it's still working. I did that pretty good, thank you. Let me just give you some verses. We're about out of time. Oh, there it is. I did have it on the page. So you can look it up yourself. It's Psalms 138, verse 2, where he says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Isn't that good? All thy name. He gave us his redemptive names. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sekinu, Jehovah Nisi, so forth. All right? Some of you need Jehovah Shalom. Peace. Peace. Here's a good one from Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I don't preach much out of Malachi. It says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Now, that's a good one. That's with Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Luke, we should have the same attitude that Mary had when the angel came and told her what was about to happen. She said, Luke 1:38, you can look it up later. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but she didn't doubt that it would happen. So she said, be it unto me according to thy word. John 17:17. This goes right along with me. This goes right along with whose report will you believe? Because you're always going to have two choices. There's going to be the world, the natural circumstances, but the just shall live by faith and not by sight. John 17:17. For all times from the lips of Jesus, he settled what truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word sanctifies. That means separates you. Makes a difference between you and the world. But you got to believe his word. You got to eat that bread. It has to become one with you. Amen? A couple more and then we're done. Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err." Now, why were they erring? And he gives them two reasons why they were wrong. And these are the Pharisees that's supposed to know what they're doing. You do err, number one, not knowing the scriptures. Nathan this morning was teaching. You need to get in your Bible. Dave taught us how long. You need to assimilate the word. Not knowing the scriptures, that's just one though. A lot of people know the scriptures that don't know the second part. Nor the power of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, see. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, I heard close it up. The purpose of today's message, I really recommend Wednesday night. There was a lot of things in that one that I left out, just for time's sake. But we're about out of time again. Listen, you cannot earn your healing. Let's get it all over with right now. You'll never be good enough, never holy enough. You'll never pray enough. You'll never fast enough. You'll never give enough. You'll never be faithful enough. You'll never attend church enough. You'll never be truthful enough. For none of those reasons does God heal. God heals for one reason alone. By his stripes, you were healed. Now, if you can believe that, there's not a reason in the world you can't be healed, and I mean today. And I mean every time. And I mean stay healed. And if the devil tries to attack again, just point him. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way you can walk free from sin by the new nature, you can walk free from sickness by the stripes that were laid on Jesus' back. Now, it's a land to be possessed. Have you noticed it does not happen automatically? You got to cut the heads off of every giant. But you do it with his word. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the rhema of God, the word of God. Not lying on your coffee table at home. That won't do you any good. No, it's the word of God that you believe, get it in your heart, speak it with your mouth. That is the sword of the Spirit, and it'll cut the head off of every enemy. Did you get anything out of that?